Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text from our second reading from the book of Hebrews, especially these words. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? This is our text. With a newborn daughter in the house as of yesterday morning, I've been given another reminder of my responsibility and calling as a father. The words of St. Paul are ringing in my ears when he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The word that jumps out at me is that word, discipline. Honestly, discipline is not my favorite part of being a father, but it is a good and necessary part of being a father. And that word discipline is the word that our reading from Hebrews uses to describe God, our Heavenly Father, and how and why he disciplines us. The word discipline certainly reminds us that being a Christian isn't always easy or comfortable or convenient. Our Father in heaven isn't in the business of making us feel good about ourselves. It's his job to guide us and keep us on the straight path that goes through the narrow door of salvation. His job is to save us and to bring us into his holiness. And I would say here there is a mirror for me as a father when I think of that word discipline. My goal and desire for my children is not simply that they lead happy lives, although I hope that they will, but that they lead good lives and lives that lead to eternal life. So also for our Father in heaven. It is not simply our happiness that is his goal, but rather our holiness. The author of Hebrews says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." This is the context in which the author of Hebrews talks about the Lord's discipline. The context is this. First, he speaks about Christ enduring hostility. In some way, discipline in this world goes along with the hostility and persecution and suffering that we face. He also speaks of the danger that we have of growing weary or faint-hearted. I'd ask for a show of hands right now, but I don't think that's appropriate. But I'm sure that out there are those among us who are weary, who are on the verge of growing faint-hearted. The challenges in front of us seem to be very many, and the blessings sometimes seem to be very few. And then there's the ongoing struggle with sin. I say ongoing because the author of Hebrews says, in your struggle against sin, and he speaks of it as if this is not just a one-time thing, but rather that this is the way it's been in the past and is now and will be on this side of glory, a struggle against sin. And that brings us to a particular image that the author of Hebrews uses here for Jesus. He speaks about Jesus as a soldier, as one who is engaged in the battle against sin and who is engaged in the battle against hostility. And our Lord Jesus engaged in this battle alone. He took on Satan and the evil hordes alone. He battled against sin alone. He took on death alone. And in his struggle against these things, including his struggle against sin, he went farther than any of us have. He resisted to the very point of shedding his blood. When we hear those words, shedding his blood, we think, of course, of his cross, the ultimate shedding of his blood. But we can back up from that in the gospel readings. There is our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord, you might say, in that moment of enduring his Father's discipline, who is kneeling on the ground, praying, and his sweat is falling in drops of blood. Or we can go all the way back to the beginning of his life, on the eighth day, when our Lord was circumcised and he first shed his blood in the struggle against sin. So our Lord knows what it is to struggle against sin, and to struggle even more fiercely than you or I have. For he struggled right up to the point of his death on the cross. And this same Jesus is the Jesus who is with us in our struggles against sin. And what he says is true, and this is true not only in our struggle against sin, but in the discipline we receive from our Heavenly Father. He says, "It hurts me more than it hurts you." And it's certainly true. And consider who Jesus was. He endured all of this as the beloved Son of the Father. He was not the enemy of the Father. God was not against him. God was his Father, and yet Jesus endured these things. You might recall that at his baptism, the Father declared Jesus to be his beloved Son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love." And yet still, he had to face the cross. Our Lord was not spared this discipline, this struggle, this training. There's a really interesting verse earlier in Hebrews where the author of Hebrews describes Jesus as the pioneer of our salvation, and he says that he was made perfect through what he suffered. By perfect, it doesn't mean that he was a sinner or that he was imperfect, but rather he completed the work that he did through his suffering. That was the narrow path that our Lord took for us. And he could have given up. He could have turned back. How many times? When they came for him in Gethsemane, when they were leading him to the cross, when he was being challenged and tested by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when he was numbered with sinners in his baptism, he could have taken a different path. And in Gethsemane, you might remember that he even asked his Father for the cup to pass from him, but then he said he was willing to drink that cup if that's what had to happen. He was willing to endure what had to be endured. He was willing to go through the discipline that he had to go through. And why would we expect any different? We belong to the same family. He calls us his brothers and sisters. So know this. Just as there was a purpose for Christ in what he went through, the purpose being our salvation, so there is also a purpose for us in what we go through. And there's a fatherly hand involved in our lives and our experiences. None of it is meaningless, and none of it is hopeless. It's the way that he helps us through this weariness that we have. It's the way that he helps us to endure this faint-heartedness and to engage in this struggle. And let's be sure that we do struggle against sin. Instead of waving a white flag, instead of making peace with our sin, let us struggle against it, even as Jesus struggled to the point of death. Do not resign yourself to your sin. Do not say that this is really who you are, but do struggle against your sin and engage in that struggle every single day. By faith, we know that the Lord's discipline is good, and we know that his discipline is good even when it's hard, because we know what the Father has given for us. He has given his own Son for us, and in Christ, we are all his sons. The author of Hebrews says in verses 5 through 7, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? And he quotes then from the book of Proverbs, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? You see, discipline is an expression of parental love. It is an expression of a father's love. And the author of Hebrews makes clear that even our earthly fathers, for the most part, have disciplined us for our good. So also our Father in heaven. When we are going through discipline, we can be sure that we are God's children, that we are dearly beloved by him, for he only disciplines those whom he loves. And our Father in heaven has in view something good for us. He has in view our sanctification and our glorification. Who are children that go without discipline? What does it mean to be a child who is undisciplined? It means that child is illegitimate or unloved or abandoned. Every child requires discipline, including us as God's children. Now, by discipline, I don't just mean punishment. Punishment is sometimes a part of discipline. It's used to correct wrongdoing or correct a wayward child, but that's not everything that discipline is. Discipline is bigger than that. It also involves training. It involves instruction. It involves practice. In my home, when we're training our children, even after we've corrected something they've done wrong, we will spend time practicing the right way to behave. That's also part of discipline. And the fact that it hurts isn't an indication that it's bad, but it hurt is sometimes an indication of what is good. When you go through a hard workout, I venture to guess that it hurts when you're done. You go through a massage, a deep massage, and it hurts. So the point of the Christian life isn't about whether it's painful or pleasant. That's the wrong tool to use in evaluating it. But whether it is good. And the Lord's discipline is good. That word discipline we use in a lot of different contexts. I think of it in terms of sports, in terms of the military, in terms of education, especially in the fine arts and in music. We're not afraid of discipline in those contexts. We're not afraid of hard work. We're not afraid of practice. No one gets to the top without to the top of their game or the top of their discipline without practice and without training, without listening. And so it is also for us as Christians. Do not think of discipline as something that is bad for us, but consider it as something that is good. Disciplining of the body is a good thing so that it can be brought under control and so that we can use it to accomplish the things we want to accomplish. And this is also true for us spiritually. The Lord disciplines us to bring our sin under control, and so that through us, he can accomplish the things that he wants us to accomplish. He disciplines us so that we can use our time, our abilities, our possessions, our talents faithfully to do his will. And which of us hasn't experienced the Lord's discipline at some point? Sometimes that discipline comes in sharp and swift doses that almost take our breath away or knock us out. And other times it's just in that slow and steady wave that almost wears us down. When it comes, which of us hasn't asked why? Why, Lord? Why this discipline? Why now? It's strange. We often tell our children not to ask why when we discipline them, and yet we turn around and use that same question to our Father in heaven. We say our children should accept our wisdom as infallible, though we are not, and yet we feel all right questioning the Almighty, who is infallible. Not why, but what is the proper question when discipline comes? We've been told the why often enough, and the author of Hebrews repeats it for us again. It is because our Father loves us, and he wants to mature us for heaven. The what he will show us in time, Maybe not immediately, maybe not today or tomorrow, but eventually he will show us the what as he strengthens our faith and uses us to strengthen others. And we know the discipline will not go on forever. The day will come when he on whom we fix our eyes in faith will return. And when he does, then we shall see him face to face, and we will know him fully, even as we are fully known. So know this, that in the discipline we experience from God, his care is all over it. His love is in every fingerprint. He uses our training for our good, and it is a reminder and a sign that we are his sons. And God disciplines us not to vent his anger, not in order to punish us for our sin, but rather to reclaim and redirect us for himself. His caring hand is behind the trials of our life. But I know how it is, because this is how it is in my life. This is how it is in the lives of my children. When discipline comes, we'd rather be done with it. We'd rather get out of it. You know how it is. We squirm to avoid it or find some excuse that this discipline shouldn't be happening right now. Or we try to tell the Lord that we're so sorry, just stop this discipline. But he will do what is good for us, what is needed by us. If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons, the author of Hebrews says. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What kind of discipline comes to your mind when you think about the discipline of the Lord? What events and experiences in your own life? What challenges and trials? What disappointments and sorrows? When it comes to the Lord's discipline, do not despise it, but welcome it and give thanks for it. Your Father in heaven loves you, and he knows what is best for you. And he only does what is good, and he only allows what he knows he can use for your benefit. So listen to him. Listen to his word. When you hear in the scriptures some word that convicts you or disciplines you, pay attention to it. Pause on that passage. Read it again. Listen to the discipline that you hear in his word and receive the discipline that he brings in your life. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. When we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. As we come to the Lord's Supper, we come confessing our sins. We come judging ourselves to be sinners. We come recognizing that we are children and that we are in need of his discipline. And we come in this way so that we are not condemned by what we receive, but are rather blessed by it, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, your Father in heaven is at work through his gifts in the church, his word and his sacraments, and he is at work in your lives as well to bring you and me and all of us to holiness. He wants us to be holy as he is holy, and he is at work through his holy means to make us holy as well. And this is what the author of Hebrews says, that we may be partakers of his holiness. This is why our Father in heaven disciplines us. So don't grow weary. Don't become faint-hearted. Don't flag while you are on the journey of this life, but rather be assured of this, that God has a purpose in what he gives and he does. And there is no error in God's discipline. He never over-disciplines us. He never disciplines us out of anger, but only out of his holiness and his goodness and his love for us. And so he is training our souls, and he is instructing our souls, and he is leading us on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. You know how it is in your own life and experience. Perhaps as you were growing up, perhaps as you were learning some instrument or training in some sport, that the more you went under discipline, the stronger you became. And so it is for us in Christ. He disciplines us for our good, and he disciplines us to strengthen us. And let us also look to one another that none of us may fail or fall behind in this journey, but rather reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ when they are suffering, when they are in some trial, when they are experiencing discipline from the Lord. Encourage them and support them on their journey. For we have this promise that our Father in heaven is leading us through this life, and he is leading us to the new heavens and the new earth. He is leading us to that place where his holiness will be perfect and full, not only in him, but also in us. And he has brought us today, not to a place to condemn us, but rather he has brought us here to his Mount Zion, where he grants to us the forgiveness of all his sins, where he reminds us that we are his dearly beloved children, whose lives and bodies and souls have been purchased by the death of Christ, and that he would have us be holy, as he is making us even now. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we look ahead to the end, to that holiness of eternity, and to the harvest of righteousness that God is working in us. And we have his promise by faith in Christ that he works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You are his dearly beloved children. And so the things he works in your life, he works also for good through his Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.